We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
So I live in Beirut, Lebanon, and I like showing some of the aerial shots in that video because Beirut is beautiful. You know, we've lived there now as a family since, in May it'll be 3 years. And, you know, we don't have any sad stories. God's taken good care of us. And we love it there. For our kids, it's home. I was talking to my kids earlier this morning. And, of course, it was Sunday evening, and we'd already had church. And they said, you'll be home next week. So home is there. Yeah. For us, Lebanon is home. And we realize that we actually on purpose make it and remind ourselves that that's just for a season. But when we first went there in 2015, the Lord quickened to me a verse of Scripture from the writings of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he said, "I have decided to stay here in Ephesus." So he's writing from Ephesus. Ephesus is a city in modern-day Turkey. And he said, "I've decided to stay here." Why, Paul? Why did you decide? He said, "I have found something here." Paul, what did you find? What is it that you found in Ephesus? Do they have an In-N-Out Burger? Because we don't have an In-N-Out Burger in Beirut, I can tell you that. We have a lot of good food in Beirut. We don't have In-N-Out Burger. Paul, did you find an In-N-Out Burger in Ephesus? Why is it that you've decided to stay in Ephesus? He said, "I've found an open door." He said, "I have found an open door," and he described that door with this word, effectual. He said, "I've found an open door, and it's effectual." So in 2015, I'm sitting in a cafe, smoke-filled cafe in Beirut, which describes virtually all cafes in Beirut. And we had a children's outreach. And I'm sitting not with the pastors, but with just some volunteers from the church. And they're all eating ice cream. Everyone's having fun trying to communicate. It was a short-term team of Americans that were over there. And the Lebanese, the young people, they were working on their English, and the Americans were not working on their Arabic that they didn't know. And so it's a lot of sign language, a lot of going back and forth, and I just begin to cry. Everyone's happy. Everyone's having a good time. We're eating ice cream. I start crying. I just can't stop. What's wrong with you? And that's not me. That's just not me. And I finally got a hold of myself. Okay. And there it starts again, just boom. And finally I got off by myself and start to pray. And I realized what had happened is I got over and I got into that doorway. Yes. That effectual doorway that's open in Lebanon right now. For Paul, he found this open door in Ephesus, and if we read in Acts chapter 19, the effect of that open door. 2 years, all the nation heard the gospel. All the nation. Paul said, writing to the Romans, he said, "There's nothing else for me to do here. I'm going to go so I can preach Christ where he is not known." And that doesn't mean that every person in that nation had individually heard the message, but Paul had raised up leaders from all of those places. Did you know in the book of Revelation, John is instructed by Jesus to write letters to seven churches in Asia? Every one of those churches came out of that open door, that decision that Paul made to stay there. So what am I saying? I'm saying that in life, as we follow Jesus, and understand my pronoun there, as we believers, we the church, we here at Redemption Church follow Jesus, we're going to come to an Ephesus where the door is standing open, and that door, on the other side of that door, is miracles. On the other side of that door is amazing. On the other side of that door is stunning. Yes. But we have to go through it. For us, that meant move to Lebanon. Sometimes that means volunteer in the children's. Sometimes it means get here early and set up. See, the work that God has called us to do, I'm getting on into my message. I was going to tell you more, a couple more testimonies, but 1 Peter chapter 4 says that we have all been given a gift. And we're supposed to use that gift for what? For our own? He says we're supposed to use this gift to minister. That is a fancy word for serve. In Arabic, it's actually the word serve. It's so convenient to teach that. To serve one another. So we serve others with the grace that God has been given. That God has given to us. And so that's what we're doing in Lebanon. We are there to take advantage of an open door. I mentioned in the video, you got to see Fat Matt. Thank God my wife and I, we have lost 130 pounds between the two of us. So people say, how did you do it? I said, well, I started listening to my wife. That's it. So, in the video it says, you know, I mentioned Lebanon's the only nation in the Middle East where it's free to preach the gospel and to train others also. And that's our focus, that's our mission, is to raise up leaders. What we do in one sentence, we train leaders and church planters to reach the unreached in the Arab world. Let me make that a little more practical for here. And there's about 25 people that are coming together specifically to be trained, and they're going to launch churches in the coming year. It's an amazing opportunity, one that only God could do. What do I mean, church planters, church planting? What is that? Think about this. Everybody that you know that knows anything about Jesus does so because of a church. Everybody. There is no exception to that. Because Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, he said, I'm praying for those who will believe because of the word of these the disciples that went out and established churches. The word of salvation is housed in the church. Paul said it like this in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. He said that God's plan for the whole world, so that the whole world will know his plan, his truth, his way, is the church. God is so dedicated to the idea of church that in the Garden of Eden, he created the illustration for the church in marriage. The church is God's idea. The church is God's grand idea. Do you know what Jesus is doing today? He is building the church. He said, I'm going to build the church. I'm going to build the church. Jesus today is building the church.
Community to come together. And I had a short-term team of Americans
that I say short term, I mean, they were there for a week. They had come over to help us. And I had asked different ones to just, you know, help out throughout the meeting. And this one particular evening, I shared this at the church I was at this morning. This one man, I invited him to share, you know, and he's not a professional minister. He's not even an amateur minister. He's a beef farmer. But he loves Jesus. He shared the simple message of the gospel through an interpreter, and everybody received Jesus in the room. Now, I say that because I want to underscore this, and I haven't kind of wandered off my topic, if it sounds like I have. This is that open door. Yes. It's not that any of us are that good. No. There's a door that's been open, and that door is open to God's effective working. Yes. And so, in a place that is controlled by another religion of hate, the simple message of Jesus and the question, who wants this gift of salvation in Jesus, results in everybody in the room standing to their feet. Everybody in the room saying, yeah, that's me. Salvation, it's not just a Western thing. It's not an American thing. It's a Jesus thing. We invited that same night, we invited people to come forward if they needed prayer. Several people were very, several people were very timid. They didn't want to come forward. But this one woman, Shiite, Muslim woman, she brought her four-year-old baby forward. This baby had big hearing aids, and we didn't know this, but the baby had never spoken, but obviously the baby had a problem with his ears. So again, we don't have like a big tent evangelist. I have a team of farmers and construction workers. Literally, that's who was there. Great people, fabulous people. So let's pray for them. So they pray. Everyone gathers around, prays for the baby. The mother, she just wants her baby healed. We're asking, hey, we'll pray for your baby. Okay. You want to pray in Jesus' name? Fine. We said, okay, take the hearing aid off. So she takes them off, you know, and it squeals. She shuts him off. And the interpreter says to the child, baby, see Jesus. Shiite mother, she's never heard her baby speak. She's standing there, big eyes. Say Jesus. This little boy, I'll never forget, he's sitting on the platform. Platform's up. Oh, I mean, it's comes up to here on me. And he's sitting there, and he says, Jesus, in Arabic, Yeshua. Yeshua. Little four-year-old boy. First word. First word. What is that? What is that story? It's that open door. See, just on the other side of that open door is this stunning, miraculous, effective... Go Church Beirut, we began in February 2018 we printed 3,000 flyers and invited people we didn't know. We actually just passed them out on the street. And we didn't have 3,000 people come, which was a good thing because we didn't have place for them. But we hired some actors, and we had them play this drama that they had actually written as like an anti-drug thing, and it was called My Story. And I had watched it. I'd went to a school. They were performing it at a school, and I'd watched it. And, you know, I'm a preacher. And so I watched the end of this, and I'm like, somebody give me a microphone. It ends in the perfect place to give an altar call. So I went and contacted them, and I said, this is what I want to do. They said, oh, we'd love to help that. We think that's great. We'd love to. Okay. So we arranged this time. We had about 75 people come. And, but I realized that we have an open door. That open door there in Lebanon is effective. But that doesn't mean that I can just import American church. So we're believing God for strategy. See, Paul, the apostle, we see he had a strategy and he followed that strategy. And by following that strategy, that's how he was able to reach a nation. So, that's why I said the part about preacher, give me the microphone, I'm going to give an altar call. So we had this drama, and at the end, we said, we'd like to invite everybody to Starbucks. So we invited everyone, because we have Starbucks in Beirut, because they're literally everywhere. I think they just opened one on the moon. We took the pretty large Starbucks. We took
his love, and then
on two levels. We with that love to your world, and this is the plant and the plan in Beirut, and this is what you guys are a part of. In that team, God has, we've just been believing God for the right people to come into relationship. We're always being and showing ourselves friendly, but believing God for just supernatural connections. So we had, I should say this, even though Lebanon is a Arabic-speaking country,
connected with
in Beirut is a young man who is, he's Lebanese, but he grew up outside of Lebanon, and he doesn't speak, he speaks Arabic, but he's not very fluent in Arabic. And his ministry, I mean, his ministry, he's called to the ministry, but his background was, he was very, grew up in a very affluent home. Parents still are very wealthy, and didn't really have any problems to speak of. Kind of had everything he wanted. And suddenly, very early on, he developed some problems in his hip. He was very athletic, playing rugby. Developed some problems in his hip, went to the doctor, and was diagnosed with some degenerative bone disorder that I don't know the name of. And they said, we're going to have to do a double hip replacement surgery. At the age of 28. 6 months in bed. A friend that he knew that was living here in the United States shared the message of Jesus with him. And he was a little bitter because why did God do this to me? Which is funny because he doesn't know anything about God but just decided that God is in the hip-breaking business, apparently. It's amazing how God gets credit for bad things. So he begins to read his Bible. A guy gives him a Bible. He begins reading his Bible. And in the process of reading this Bible, he sees, through the Gospel of John, this is true. So he comes to the Lord on his own, just with a salvation prayer of something like, Lord, I don't understand why you've done this to me, but I see that you're Lord, so I say you're Lord. And that's it. And he had no one around him that knew that was a Christian, no one around him that could encourage him, no one around him that he could be in community with as a believer. And he lived that way for about 5 years. And then he had, by that time, he'd relocated back to Beirut and finds out through a friend about Go Church Beirut. So he comes to a couple meetings and he asks afterwards, he said, "Hey, will you have lunch with me?" "Absolutely." So we sit down and I can tell he's got a lot of like bitterness in his heart, and you know, he's really genuine, a lot of leadership qualities, but there's some baggage. And we were able, just over lunch, over fish actually, which was amazing, we just shared the simple love of God and the truth of the scripture with him. And I didn't realize this, but while I'm sitting there talking with him, he didn't only have a hip problem, he had like this debilitating, something like Crohn's disease in his intestine. And I had no idea, because he was talking to me about his hips, but other than that, he looks okay. And I'm just sharing with him the love of Jesus. And he's asking me questions about scripture and doing my best to give him scripture to support, you know, say, well, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. And we're very careful to always take people back to the Bible. Do you know what happened? You want me to tell you? He said, he didn't say it to me, he says to his friend afterwards, he said, "I've been wrong." He said, "God didn't do this to me." We just sat there. I mean, I spent 2 hours with him. He didn't get that from me. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And Jesus said that he, the Holy Spirit, will bring what God says to us. Right? Is it in John 16, he says he will transmit. I love that word. He will transmit God's word to us. So while we're sitting there talking, he gets this download, not from me, from heaven. And he says to his friend, he says, "I've been wrong. God didn't do this to me. God loves me. He's good." So he joins the team and he's working real hard, but he's still suffering from this. I mean, it's like a lot more serious than what I understood. And finally, his fiance, she said, "Honey, don't you think we should pray about this and ask God to take this away?" He goes, yeah, we should. Thank God for wives and fiancés. And he's got a good one. She's precious. We actually did their wedding last August. She said, let's do it. So they invited us to the house, to their house, and we had dinner. And then afterwards, she said, "Do you think it would be okay if we prayed that God would heal, Roy? I said, "Yeah, I think that'd be fine." And I think, I told her, I think it would be fine. I think you should do it. Okay. So we all gather around, some other friends were there, and we all prayed. Guess what? Totally healed. Thank you, Jesus. Totally healed. Hallelujah. Why? Open door. There's an open door. It's effectual. Yes. Isaiah chapter 43. I was thinking about this when you were singing that song. I love that song. It says, "Don't look at the way things used to be. Behold, I'm doing something brand new." Yes. Jesus, my God. He said, He said, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and a river in the desert. The thing is, you don't have to see what a desert looks like. You know from the word, the absence of a river. And in a wilderness, that's the problem. And the reason you get lost in the wilderness is there's no way. Guess what? He is the way maker. He's the way maker. He's the way maker. And he brings us to this place of divine opportunity, open doors, and beyond that open door is God's supernatural, effective working. For us, that's in Lebanon right now. Where is it for you? Where's the open door in your life that God has put, and on the other side of it is great power, on the other side of that is a miracle, on the other side of that is healing? Where's that open door? See, he makes the way, but I got to walk through it. He makes the way, but I've got to obey. We don't receive from God based on what he's able to do. We receive from God according to our faith. Of the 19 recorded times where Jesus healed someone in the Gospels, 19, 16 of them, Jesus said, according to your faith. Your faith was not added by the translators. The word your, the pronoun your, is in the Greek. Trying to get over to something. See, I'm so glad that Pastor asked me to come. I really am. And it's a huge honor to me. And I, you know, when we first met, I felt a divine connection. Your pastor has been and is very gracious. Not only when we're here, but even when we're not. Our wives are messaging, and that's a huge, actually it's a huge thing to be able to, like, have connection back to the States and know that people didn't forget about us. Yes. But just after the first of the year, the Lord woke me up and spoke to me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but on the inside of me, like he'll speak to any believer, he told me to tell you something. And I'll be honest, I don't know that we had confirmed yet that it was going to work schedule-wise. And I haven't said anything to you. We've just, you know, we've messaged back and forth with, like, you know, what's the address? Because I knew you'd all moved. But the Lord woke me up and spoke to me and said, I want you to say something. For the last year, all of 2019, our team have been standing on this word. Words, because it's two. Surpassing greatness. Surpassing greatness. The 150th Psalm, Psalm 150, verse 2, says, praise the Lord, praise him under the open sky for his surpassing greatness. That's in the NIV. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul praying for the church in Ephesus, he said, that you would know, this is the Amplified translation, that you would know his surpassing greatness. So our team in Lebanon, we've got three American couples that are working together planting these churches, and we're actually working now to establish a Bible school center that's not just in Lebanon, but in these other countries. We've just all, as a team, centered on that, surpassing greatness. And I'm going to tell you what, we just keep seeing it. We just keep seeing it. I mean, sir, coming here and saying, you know, you've already got a check for us, that's surpassing greatness for me. Don't tell your pastor, but I'd pay to come preach here. That's not really a joke. Because the Lord put me on an assignment to come here. And I didn't say, hey, I've got a word to share. Because this is your house. But the Lord said, I want you to speak a word here to you. So you didn't come by accident. I came a long way to tell you something. We're in days of surpassing greatness. We, the ministry that we're involved in. And we keep seeing it. I'm telling you, we show up places and we say, okay, we believe God's told us to do this, and it just happens. We're not that good. We're just not that good. But He is.
He is. My God.
And so, I mentioned earlier about grace, managing the grace, or stewarding. That's the word that we use, we see in Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 and in Peter, stewarding the grace, because it's not ours. It's a gift that was given to us, and we're supposed to do something with it, right? And so, the grace that's on our ministry that we're walking in this opportunity, this open door, this effectual door, that's grace operating. And I'm going to tell you what that grace is. It's new barriers removed grace. It's breakthrough grace. We're walking through and seeing things that I'm going to tell you what, near where we planted one of the churches, I met a pastor who was stoned, like Stephen in Acts chapter 9, stoned. He's worked in this place for 10 years and saw zero converts. I'm not that good of a preacher, but there's a grace on us. There's a grace on us to see these surpassing greatness, right? And to see this breakthrough, to see these new barriers, see these barriers broken and these new frontiers, that's what I'm trying to say, these new frontiers open. The Lord woke me up just after the first of the year and said, when you're in the U.S., I want you to tell them, barriers removed. Barriers removed and frontiers open. New frontiers open. And this word of surpassing greatness, this grace that we're experiencing, it's not just for me, it's not just for our family, and it's not just for Lebanon. See, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says that it's God's plan that the church work this way. It's not His suggestion, it's His plan. That there's a supply, and that supplies flow through joints. And God has joined us together. And so grace, the grace that is on us in Lebanon to break down barriers and go into new frontiers, that breakthrough grace and these days of surpassing greatness, I want to supply you with. Now I'm closing. John chapter 1. Jesus is called the Word. And it says that grace and truth came how? Through Jesus, the Word. So that means words are containers, and we can fill up our words and transmit them. I can fill a word with love and give it to my child. We can fill a word with hate and shout it at the car that cuts us off. I'm going to put that surpassing greatness and breakthrough grace in a word. And these are spiritual things. They're heavenly and they're holy. And you don't have to understand it to benefit from it. And I'm going to speak that over you. It is why I came. Is this okay, Pastor?
Yes.
Would you all stand up with me?
Jesus.
In the Old Testament, we see time and time again where the man of God would say, the word of the Lord came to me saying, and then he would say it. But what happens after he says it is that effectual working begins. If you want to receive for yourself, I'm going to specifically speak to Redemption Church, but if you want to receive this individually, I'm going to ask you to do something real simple. I want you to raise up your hands. And I'm going to put the surpassing greatness that is on us. I've just told you a couple stories. I'm telling you, I could keep you here I could keep you here longer than you want to listen to me, telling things that God has done. I'm saying right now, barriers that have seemed like they were impossible to overcome are broken in Jesus' name. I'm saying that frontiers that looked like they were only for someone else, they're open in Jesus' name. And I release breakthrough now in this church in Jesus' name. I say this church is a place of breakthrough. I say this church is blessed. I say this church is on path of increase. I say this church is a place of increase. And I say this church is marked with surpassing greatness, surpassing great power, surpassing great love, surpassing great joy, surpassing great peace in this place in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Bow your heads with me. Let me pray for you. Father, I'm so grateful for this place. I'm so grateful for your grace demonstrated to us in these pastors. Lord, I'm so thankful for your anointing on them. The ministry that you have given to this city. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the equipping of the saints that is happening here at Redemption Church. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the vision that you have given here. And I'm asking, Father, for supernatural empowerment and a working of that effectualness, that lasting effectiveness. Hallelujah. Father, we pray and set these before you and ask that you do what only you can do and make a way where there is no way. And let what was dry flow like a river in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for this place. And I bless this place. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we clap our hands to the Lord in this house? You do feel the very presence of God in this house right now, don't you? You feel the presence of God. I want to open these altars right now. I want you to come right now. We're going to spend some time worshiping. I want you to take a moment and walk through this open door. This is an open door. I want to encourage you, if you don't feel comfortable coming forward, just stand where you are and worship the Lord in this house. I want us to sing that Waymaker song. I want us to do it, and I want us to lift our voices to the Lord, lift our hands to the Lord. If you need a miracle in your life, I want you to come into the first 2 feet of this stage, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe that God is going to do surpassing greatness in your life. Come, don't wait. Come do it. Let's do it in this place. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.